Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Good morning, running commentators.
Good morning. As we run into the sound of the drill to start.
Yeah, we want to get as close as possible. I kind of hope that this drill you can hear here slips up and goes into that car, which parks on the double yellow line every day.
Just
completely shakes off... parking tickets and everything.
He must be one of the guys.
All of us wild.
Must be one of the guys working there.
Anyway,
a minute. That's one of the advantages of a day's drilling. Get to park on the double yellow.
Now, Paul. No. That's terrible. It doesn't matter. You can't see the car. It doesn't matter. It's Paul.
No, but it's not their car.
that's
going to really do your head in.
I've already told Paul that I had eight. I've had eight cups of coffee this morning. Eight.
A worrying prospect.
Yeah, so, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Tomkinson is back from Cuba. And we're going to go for a... It's also a beautiful day, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Spring is springing in N16, so we're going to do a little turn around the estate, and check out the parks and run about seven miles.
We're going to do a few parks.
Let's cross.
We're going to cross.
Currently trying not to get run over in Newington Green. So, how was Cuba?
Cuba was amazing. Yeah, I mean, it was... It was 3 days in Havana,
yeah,
and then it was 7 days in Varadero, which is like, was an all-ink hotel.
Yeah.
Full of, loads of different people, actually. But the all-ink was quite challenging.
Yeah.
In terms of...
Putting on weight and drinking booze.
Putting on weight. I did drink some booze. I resisted it for the first night and didn't drink in Havana, but then you thought... Everyone else is getting absolutely slaughtered.
Yeah, and you're on holiday.
Yeah. So I had a few tequila sunrises.
Good.
And it was good fun. It was hell of a... I did some pretty nice running as well.
Yeah, tell us about that. Here we are in Newington Green.
Cuba's... I didn't run much in Havana because the fumes are so... The traffic.
Yeah.
Just that it's so... Have you ever been to Cuba?
No.
It's very run down. Because, of course, it had the embargo with the states and stuff and communism or whatever, economic sanctions and stuff. It's a mess, really.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's a mess. It's full of old 50s cars. Everything stopped developing in the 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so it's all that's good and bad about that.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a time warp. The people are great.
Well,
it's good fun.
Again.
Let's do that.
It's just a jump to the left.
And... ironically,
step to the right.
They do need a step to the right in Cuba.
Yeah.
And,
unlike the rest of the world.
Yeah. And the
good, more drilling. Thanks very much. Yeah.
Welcome to the drill fest.
Hey guys, could you
drill a bit louder?
Shut up, just a minute, Jesus.
What about you, report up, W? And we. So you can't run in Havana because it's just dangerous and traffic and fumey.
Yeah.
But when I went to, I did a bit of treadmill. Basically, it was a 10-day holiday.
Yeah.
I did 4 10-mile runs.
Yep.
One 10K in a treadmill and then 2 5Ks. So it's not too bad.
Not too bad. It's more than enough.
The 4 10s were really nice, actually, because it was like just straight out of the road, out of the hotel. and back, but it was sort of grassy verges.
Yeah.
And now that kind of romance of the Cuban sunset and the kind of just the solitariness of it. It was beautiful,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It was just 5 miles out and back, you know. It
yeah.
was pretty. It would have looked bleak if it hadn't felt so good.
We're just running down the middle of Petherton Road, and the daffodils aren't up yet, but you can see the...
It's going to happen.
It's about to happen.
Probably by the end of this run.
Yeah, we'll come back. Well, why don't we go around twice, and maybe they'll be up when we come past. Again, there's the dust.
So it was nice to get a few solid runs, because at the hotel was just chilling. There was not. We didn't do any, like... There's no expeditions, there's no trips.
Just
we
kicking
just
back.
Chilled and kicked back and ate loads and ran and some more drilling.
Yeah.
All right, drillers.
Come on. Let's find some more drills. This road's closed. This party's over. And how much drinking did you do then once you started drinking?
Not loads, to be honest. I mean, just a few tequila sunrise a night, sort of. God, no, they'll have been quite watered down.
Yeah.
Oh,
parking
that's
suspension.
Total hazard. Loads of hazards already this morning.
Yeah.
Urban hazards.
Parking
signs.
His phone. Oh, see, look, he's gone into that.
He's going to catch you.
That was well staged. We staged that nicely. There's probably a court case in there. Where there's blame, there's a claim. So, because I did some drinking in half term, just coming out of half term here in the UK.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know, we had the conversation a couple of weeks ago about the voices in your head.
Right. Yes.
I realise, and this might sound twisted, I don't think it is, I realise that I sometimes have that with drinking.
Yes.
You know, because I'll give up drinking and I don't want to drink and I'm pretty good, I'm good at giving things up, very strict. And then a moment will come, like, I can't remember what day it was last week, but I just thought, of course I'm going to have a drink.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not even a question.
Yes.
I don't feel guilty about it. I don't see it as a reversal of what I had planned. It's just the situation is not as I'd imagined.
It would be criminal not to.
Yeah. It's not even a question. And it's the same thing. It's the big clear voice in your head. The same one that says, it's literally the same one that's very strict with me that says, is your knee hurting? Yes. Do you need to stop running? No. Carry on running and shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's definitely the same voice. So, in a way, it means I can trust it to be telling me the right thing, right? Right?
As long as it's, I suppose, not telling you to drink at breakfast. Or
well,
every
breakfast,
day.
Breakfast in the holidays. I know.
Oh my
crazy
God.
Talk, isn't it?
Oh my God.
That's
another female admirer for doing.
Well, her daughter we just ran past is exactly the same age as my son, so I've known her to say hello to since her pre-birth classes.
It's great, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great when the kids open up to a big old social world.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
Because son... Child number one is about to be 12.
Nice.
That's a big age.
It is a big age.
So,
and what have you been doing much running?
Yeah, I was really pleased with my running.
It's been about 10 days, hasn't it?
Until I heard that you'd run 80 miles while you're on holiday.
80.
Oh, am 50. I exaggerating?
Yeah.
I can only apologise. Because I'm just trying to earn a couple of miles a week.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying... thinking about balancing what we've said about three-dimensional training, you know, different things, different paces,
right,
with my laissez-faire attitude to it, you know.
Yeah.
And I had a good run of runs.
Good.
I did the run I've told you about where I run from Islington to Primrose Hill.
Right, and then you do your little hill circuit.
Then do a circuit and then run back.
Yeah.
And I just stepped it up.
Oh,
thank
stopped.
You very
stopped.
Much, good man.
It's nice.
Just crossing the road into Highbury Field. It really is gorgeous. So, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
But instead of going 5 times up Primrose Hill, I went 6 times up Primrose Hill.
Like it.
And then on the run back to Islington, I just negative split it. I just made sure I did it faster on the way back.
That's great, mate.
It was really good.
That's what you want. That's proper training.
Yeah, and it felt good.
Good for you.
And then having found that pace, I went out and... on a very cold day, which really helps, I did one of my usual 7 mile runs around here.
Yeah.
But I did it at pace.
Okay.
Did it all,
you know, just at a good pace, not
but
most pace, but I just stayed at speed.
Yeah.
Remember what that speed on the way back from Primrose. So, oh, good. So,
okay.
Machine there.
The day of the
drills. I honestly wanted to come out and find signs of spring, and the sign of spring is that everyone's gone to work with drills.
Yeah. I did a bit more kind of steady, moderate pace running as opposed to my normal very easy pace when I run longish distance. So I was running 5 miles out and then pushing it on the way back, just getting used to that. Just making your base pace a bit quicker.
Yeah, exactly.
Just your normal pace of running a bit quicker.
I did notice, because last time we went out with Joe Warner, I was sort of fighting a cold.
Yeah.
And I just noticed it, a few aches and pains, a little bit kind of chesty. And I realized, I felt the strength of that. I thought my run can just completely brush this off.
Yeah.
Specifically, it seemed so clear at the time, but it just sounds like madness. Oh, look at these crocuses. I'm getting a picture of these. That's it. The crocuses on Highbury Field, of course. The lovely bit. The crocuses are out.
And a dog in the distance.
Yeah, look.
Evacuating his bells.
Yeah, it's quite far away, so it just looks...
What more kind of spring image could...
Nice to see.
Come we get.
Dog spring. So, my chest was coughing. My thumb was aching because of my cold.
Right.
I got my thumbs up to my chest and looked up ahead like I'm doing now.
Yes.
And I found that I could run, kind of sub 7.5 minute miles.
That's great.
For a sustained period of time.
Nice and easy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but I knew it as well. It's like you said, it's getting used to running with a bit of pace.
Yeah.
For a sustained period of time. And then I did a run. I missed you so much.
Yeah.
That I ran up your way.
Right. We were going to Highgate.
Yeah, in half term we were going to see a friend in Finchley.
Yes.
So I thought, well, I'll pull a 10-miler, and they can go in the car, you know.
Nice.
And it meant looping up round, Highgate Woods and beyond. And that was really good because, of course, it's quite cross country out there. I mean,
it is
nothing to your, but hills and mud, and then when I hit the pavement, it almost wasn't deliberate. But when I hit the pavement near where I was going, I thought, oh, I'm nearly there now. I'm a bit late. It's a downhill pavement, so I started speeding up, and then like the 10th mile of an 11-mile run, I did in like 7:15.
That's great.
Felt
that's
good, right?
That's what you want. Yeah, definitely.
And then. This is the icing on that little cake. I tried out Hackney Marshes Park Run on Saturday.
Yeah.
Have you done that yet?
No, but I've heard it's one of the swifter ones.
It is. It's very flat.
Right.
And it's nice because it's there's not many repetitions.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit cruel saying this as you run around Highbury Field, but you know.
Yeah, because that does do your head in a bit.
Yeah, the fact that you're running
the lapocentric
slightly
nature.
More than five laps.
Yeah.
Is a pain. Whereas, Hackney Marshes is really big. I mean, I was slightly disappointed that they don't just go all round it, but there's no path at one end.
So is it a two-lap course? I know what
it's a there and back course.
Like it.
So they run 2.5K round and back again, except there's building work. And even though I've never been before, I could feel everyone this kind of grinding the gears because in terms of it being a fast course as well, the worst thing about it is you literally have to, you don't go round anything or anything, you get to a point and you have to stop and go back in the opposite direction.
So you run back on the people that you're racing
against? Yeah.
I quite like that.
It's good to see the faces, it's just the turn I don't like.
Yeah, because you get to see how far you're ahead of people.
Yeah.
And you get to either psych them out or be psyched out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But then, if you remember, there's that long tarmac track through the woods on Hackney Marshes. It's always longer than you think. You think, oh yeah, track just goes through the woods here.
Mm.
It's about a mile.
Yeah.
And you go out along that, and you come back. And with their current change of route, when you come back along it, you're coming back towards the finish.
Right.
And thinking, oh, I've still got a bit left, everyone's kind of tiring,
Yeah.
And now you've got a little, just before the finish line, you turn left over a bridge and go there and back. You go a really long way.
No.
That bit with people coming the other way is like, how far did they have to go down? Oh, it's a killer. It's very demoralising. It's really good. And I was getting some good pace there. Did a couple of 6:45 miles.
Nice.
And I ran from my house, so it was like 3 miles there, parkrun 3 miles back. So I'm doing lots of
that's great,
running, man. Then running fast, then.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it's been quite a training session, really. So big thanks to both our families for enduring our absence with all that training on holiday.
It's finding the right time, isn't it? I mean, I went at kind of classic tea time when my wife and George would go to the gym and do something. Kids would be chilling out.
Yeah.
Quite a good time to go. So what time did you clock on your Hackney?
Well, it wasn't that great. I think the pace was good, but I'm making excuses here, but it's funny. I nearly missed it, right? So I came running to the start.
Yeah.
And it's a big one. There's a couple of hundred people there.
Right.
And I saw them all lined up for the finish line. So I politely went to the back, filed forward a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when they started it,
shuffling,
I just realised how competitive I was, because so many people are like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I just walked down to the line and get going. I was going, oh goodness.
No, it was excellent. You made a mistake. You've got to get near the front.
It absolutely killed my time, but it was really good for my run.
Yeah.
Because once the space started opening up,
you went for it.
I started overtaking, and once you start overtaking,
it's great. It gets very
you become
Moorish.
Very aware of. Yeah, exactly. You don't ever want to stop overtaking.
No. That's a real lesson to think for the marathon, isn't it? If you can, it's so valuable to. So I've been getting that a bit in the. I had a bit in the Watford half.
Yeah.
It sort of get really running hours from about 7 to 11 miles, really going for it.
Yeah.
And it's just nice.
Yeah.
I think if you can get in that overtaking mode. Because last mile of any race, they're going to pull you through, aren't they?
Yeah, that's
you're
going
to be okay.
Yeah, and
but
I also
it's that
think
section before the end.
Counter to that, and yet also concurrent to that, I'm much happier these days that I haven't really got a finish.
Yeah.
So some guy, I mean, I've got enough. I know how to access what I've got.
Yeah.
But I think the difference between me really going for it at the finish line and just carrying on running is almost negligible, you know?
Right.
So when guys in that last 500 yards who I've overtaken, like, overtake me back, I'm like, well,
I'm not that bothered.
No, it's just that, well, A, I'm not that bothered, because B, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't got it, you know. I'm closer to the red all the time than they are.
Yes, yeah.
So that's not a problem. But like you say, so much of this is about accessing pace late on.
Yeah.
And that thing of overtaking people, it's a really good balancing act, because it starts from finding your... Can you just say a line from Four Weddings and a Funeral? Is it raining? I hadn't noticed.
Is it raining? I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, it's like Andy McDowell's right here.
Great film.
Right by his house there, you see. Went to see some his friend the other day. Said, see, I can't stand these Hugh Grant rom-coms. And I just said,
what?
I'm going to have to stop you right there. Not having it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's all about being able to that fine kind of pace, not sprinting, but going pretty fast, and accessing that once when you're already knackered.
Yes, yeah.
When you've done 5 miles or 10 miles or 2 miles.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so psychologically, it is draining to be overtaken, you know, when you're in that state.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of disproportionately draining, isn't it? You can feel that.
It feels like a personal slide.
You can feel it ebb against you a little bit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've been getting into doing a fair bit of good quality running, mate.
I've been really enjoying it, and it kind of you start to find a shape with it, you know. We come up now on this on the Bath half.
Yeah.
Less than 3 weeks away now.
Yes.
So an element of taper is involved. It's nice to have it in the schedule towards London.
Yeah.
And for me, visualising that kind of 13.1 at pace,
yeah,
it's fitting into my training, you know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I did
yeah.
a 7 at pace the other day. I did that 9 with a park run in it the other day.
Yeah.
I'm planning to do a 10, as you know, kind of as fast as
pace-ish,
I can.
Yeah, right.
Early next week.
Right.
And then after that, that Bath half will be my next fast run.
Yeah.
So you know, it just sits. I'm going to take a picture of these guys in the arse sign. Arse null, but I cut the null out. It's quite a good look.
And it's a good duck. And it's a good...
I'm getting him. Anyway.
It's just a good indicator of how... of what to aim for in London, isn't it?
The yes. Yeah, absolutely.
See what you can get all of.
And it's a nice moment as well. It's that spring thing. All the runs have started. You know, all these people talking to a lot of people online yesterday about all the, you know, the season has begun, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
A Bramley 20, a couple of people did yesterday.
Hampton Court half.
Yeah, yeah, Hampton Court half sounded really nice.
Yeah, it did.
I think
yeah.
the weather was like this. And then people doing huge training runs for all the marathons that are coming up, you know, before yeah. London, in the kind of from the end of March, beginning of April. It's a very exciting time.
Yeah, I mean, the big sort of, the big mileage weeks for people serious about doing well in London start around now, don't
Yeah,
they?
Yeah.
You're about, we're about 8 weeks away, aren't we?
How many miles a week are you on now? I mean, how many miles a week do you want to be on?
About 50.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I didn't make it on holiday, but about 50 and then a bit more in the next sort of 6 weeks if I can, within yeah. reason.
Yeah.
But it's a long runs, isn't it? It's trying to get four or five long runs.
Absolutely.
At about 20. Yeah. You know, so, but it's not easy.
No.
Because they're pretty tiring.
Tire you out, that's right.
Really tiring.
I feel like I'm really, it's a dangerous business, but I'm really pushing against my aches and injuries without taxing them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So basically,
yeah.
training up, for example, my shonky knee,
right,
to be a bit stronger. You know.
Right.
But without going
without
that far, that
much.
I'm like, ow, leave it alone. You know.
Yeah.
It's a fine line.
It really is. Yeah.
It's interesting talking to Joe about that. That in bodybuilding isn't really the phrase, isn't it? But like muscle fitness. That sense of quality training is really important. That awareness that training too much is going to work against you. You know?
Yeah.
As soon as you've done the training that's useful, you've got to leave it. But we really want to get in that training that's useful.
You want to get in your...
I think with me and you it's interesting because I think we genuinely, without competition, to be at our the fitness we want to be for the marathon, you need to be and are able to be running further than me.
Yeah,
our miles per week are quite dramatically different. And
yeah,
at
yeah,
this
yeah.
stage, I'm not worried about that.
No, that's fine.
Because yours will give you the pace and distance. And if I did that many, I'd kill my legs.
Yeah.
And vice versa, you know.
Yeah, you've got to get you sleeping as well, haven't you?
Yeah. How's the jet lag working out for you now? Left here into Gillespie Gardens.
It's nice to be out running, but it's a bit weird. It's more hard for the kids because we got home yesterday.
Yeah.
And then it's like we've got to stay up today.
Yeah.
And get an early night and get a good night's sleep. But of course they just fell asleep in the afternoon because they're so exhausted.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and it's more the torture of, I use that term loosely, of getting back from the airport home. So you land at 9:30, knackered.
Yeah.
And then you eventually get home. Gatwick Express doesn't run on a Sunday. Got to go London Bridge Archway, waiting for a taxi for ages, loads of...
Oh, that's brutal.
We got home about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and you're just tired out.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, but it's horrible, isn't it? Because you do set yourself up for the end of that plane journey.
Yeah.
And when it happens, you're so far from home.
Yeah.
As a squirrel run up the fence underneath the whizzing wind turbine.
Training for a spring marathon.
Yeah.
Doing well there, bit of intervals.
Oh, dun. I just got out of sight before I got a picture. Oh, well.
But, you know, the options when you land at Heathrow or Gatwick, I mean, an Uber for 5, so expensive from there, isn't it? So you go, you do your public transport.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yep.
You're just knackered and moody and hungry and grouchy and hot.
Yes. Yeah. And talking of that... Do you think that we should do a sequel to our three-part 20-mile run? Some of these people doing long training runs have
yeah.
been getting in touch and saying they want us to go longer. It's very kind of you, listeners.
I think we should, yeah.
We go pretty long anyway.
Yeah, I think we should do a couple of long runs together, yeah.
I'm working up a nice kind of east round the rivers 20 course, so
right.
we should do that and break it up and
no,
see if we
good,
can,
yeah.
if we're fit enough, we'll find that we don't completely crash around.
Or just take some water.
Yeah, take some water. But do it by the rivers and the reed beds and stuff. And if you get in a panic like you did, you can just drop to your face and just suck from the ponds like in a western.
Throw myself in the river.
Yeah. And I'll say there's a shop 150 yards that way.
No, we should do one. We should do a long run together.
Absolutely.
It's easier in company.
It's just good here, isn't it? It's nice to... I often run along here with headphones. You get more out of it when you can hear the trains and things. and the spinning wind turbine.
So this is a sort of back route running to Finsbury Park.
Yeah, it's Gillespie Ecology Park, and
yeah,
we've just gone to a bit that's just really squeezed in between the railway and these houses, but it's still
it's a nice bit of track.
It's a lovely bit of track, lovely texture. Nice texture. Here we go.
This is almost perfect sort of underfoot for me, really. Soft. Yeah. A little bit gravelly, almost a trail. So how's your, is your knee all right then, or what?
Yeah, I tell you, I said it before, and I sort of knocking myself, but I genuinely think that as long as I can lay off the driving,
right?
The it's used to, it aches after I run, but it's right. Not, it's just complaining, you know what I mean? It's complaining because I used it. There's no, it's chronic, not acute.
Right.
I've got myself an ITB roller now at last. I don't really
use one of those foam roller things, is it?
Yeah, it's just knobbly, okay. Kind of okay. Foot and a half of... And you, it works a treat. It is just a home massage, you know?
Right.
You've got to use it right, obviously. But it's that thing, if you've got a specific
I've really got
ache,
to get hold of one of those, actually.
Particularly around the back of your thighs or whatever.
Yeah.
You just got to use your own weight to bear down it, you know?
Right.
So say it's behind your knee on the side of your thigh. You anchor yourself on top of that and roll yourself back and forth a little bit. And it's exactly the same as a good sports masseur having a go at it. You know, it really hurts in a really healthy feeling way. It draws out the pain and then your muscles don't hurt anymore.
Do you think
it works a treat?
Do you think it's like Uber to the black cabs? Do you think the masseurs are going, these foam rubber, absolute nonsense, doing it out of business?
Take these
new knobbly foam rubbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
like
quite
a masseur.
Taking yourself to the living room floor and manhandling yourself backs and forwards isn't quite the same as getting a nice massage. But then also, I wanted one for ages and you're saying, I should get one. You realise you don't need it that often.
Right.
It's only when your muscles flare up. And also...
How much are they?
I think you get them online for about 15 quid.
Right, so not... It's not
no, it doesn't break the bank.
Bang breaking.
And also, it doesn't have to be huge. You can get these massive ones.
Right.
And I don't know what you do with those, really. Because you don't massage your whole body, do you? You massage a muscle.
Just little bits, yeah.
But, and it works. I've had it, I swear by it, but equally, I've only got it out for a few minutes, a couple of times since I've had it.
Right.
You think, oh, that's hurting. You give it a roll, feels better, all done.
You get those people who carry baseballs around with them and kind of constantly kneading their hips.
Yeah, I think it's the same principle.
Right.
The great thing about the ITB roll is... It's one, it's knobbly, so it really it's like someone getting their knuckles in, which you can't do with a tennis ball.
Right.
And two, like I say, you use your own weight on it.
Yeah.
So it's easy enough to roll your foot around on a tennis ball, but you can't kind of get down and roll your whole body around on one. So it basically takes that ball factor and ups the pressure.
Right.
And I'm sure you have to be careful, and you don't want to hurt yourself and stuff, but... equally, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who go, yeah, fantastic. Because it really is. So I'm feeling good. But drinking, as we said, and eating as well.
Yes.
Because the other thing I've been doing is a fair amount of...
You've been eating?
Been eating every day. Several times a day.
Rob?
Sorry. I don't know if you heard all the background there, but we just came through... Finsbury Park interchange, which is pretty rough. Coming into Finsbury Park, which is pretty nice. Lovely place to live. I mean, visit.
A lot of eating going on at the All Inc. A lot of really large North American Canadian types.
Yeah.
Maybe you might suggest I'm eating too much.
What?
The plates at breakfast.
Yeah.
You can just have whatever you want. So you can eat as healthily as you want. Or as unhealthily as you want. Yeah. It's all there.
Yeah.
You got blokes making your omelettes. You got blokes that fry your fresh fish.
Yeah.
Fresh so the food's fish. Actually okay.
Yeah.
But my goodness, some of the plates getting piled up.
There we are in Finsbury Park. No, I found that in Dubai, having too much. It's just a very real risk. Being vegan didn't help at all. It just meant that... I think ultimately the vegan thing, I have assumed that it'd be easier to keep my weight down. It isn't. If you eat as much as I do, you can be fat on any
of you just eat loads of veg.
Yeah. And sometimes good fats and stuff, you know.
Right.
Avocados.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. But the other thing is recognising that I kind of like it. You know, I'm doing quite a lot of body work.
Yeah.
And getting hungry and thinking, good, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat a load of food. And basically, I'm chunking up instead of dropping pounds.
Right.
And I want to drop pounds because it's for a run. But I'm chunking up muscle.
Yeah.
I'm not getting fat, I'm getting big.
And that can help you.
Yeah, and it feels nice.
Yeah.
So I just need to recognise what I need right now. Let's go straight across this grass, talking of nice surfaces. So, yeah, I had to admit to myself, basically, that I was kind of loving it.
You really like food.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
because it's healthy food, and it's making, you know, you kind of got this inbuilt negative.
You do feel the difference.
Yeah, and when you feel that it's not coming off negative like you imagined, you know, it's the same as when you're not drinking, because it's kind of evil, and you have a drink and it's really nice. And I'm like, why was I not doing this? It's great. And that's, yeah.
Well, I think I've kind of broken my pact with booze. Like yesterday, didn't booze, and I normally would do on a Sunday, just go back from holiday.
Yeah.
So I think it's just special occasions. It feels churlish not to.
Yeah, I think drinking on holiday
feels
is a
little
thing.
Bit churlish.
I mean, I think drinking is a holiday.
Yes.
So if you combine it with a holiday.
Yeah.
Because I thought that after Christmas.
Whoa.
Just drinking all the time at Christmas and then didn't. And then at the end of January when I did, I was like, hey, mate, it's not Christmas.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that's fair enough. Because it's like you said, you didn't have any Wi-Fi on holiday. It's not like you'd want to be without Wi-Fi every day.
But, my goodness, it felt good, though.
But it's great to take a holiday
from. It felt good because you just couldn't have it. So,
yeah, so you're not just denying yourself.
No, it just felt just that thing of not waking up and checking stuff straight away. Yeah. Taking away that mania. And then you realise how quickly you slip into it.
Yeah.
And how unnutritional it is for your brain, you know.
Yeah.
How agitating it is.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know.
But
social
equally,
media, hard to resist.
Like the food and drink, to deny yourself it completely is kind of missing the point. It's like punishment.
These things
ultimately
are to be used.
Yeah. And the quest of life, the great challenge, is moderation.
Yeah.
So
ideally you want to be drinking whilst eating loads on social media.
Yeah, exactly. I like to Facebook buy a buffet whilst until I can't see.
An all-ink buffet whilst googling, boozing wine.
Just to clarify, he means all-inclusive.
Yeah.
Took me a while.
Yeah, the all-ink.
Yeah, I thought for a minute it was to do with print.
More dogs. Of wild dogs.
I'm not going to bark at these ones because they'll be attracted.
They're off lead.
So
there's a run in Victoria Park in April.
Oh yeah, which
I
one?
I think we should get on it.
Okay.
It's April the 5th. I'll have a look at it. I think it's a 5 mile around Victoria Park.
Yeah.
That'll be a nice kind of pre-London.
Yeah, that sounds
stretch
good.
Stretch out, get a bit quick, you know.
Yeah. I've got a weekend in there. We need to find out when we're going to other places.
Yeah.
Because got weekends coming up in good cities. Cardiff, Birmingham, Manchester.
All right.
And, you know, potential for long runs in all these places.
Yeah, we'll have a look at the diary.
So if we
see if we can get some adventures on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, parkrun warning. But then before we get to it, can I just say?
Yeah.
The other thing I admitted to myself while you're away. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it outright. 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Too early for
it's
you.
It's too early for me.
Yeah.
There's so much working against that. It's not just being a comedian. Yeah, you know, any day of the week, getting out for a run at 9 instead of getting out at 10:30 is a paradigm shift for my biology, you know?
It's a bit fresh, yeah.
10:30, I want to go. 9 o'clock, my body's going, oh, what are you doing? Run to a toilet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, I can't change that.
I quite like it because it's done earlier, but I know what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, I'm not. This is all me.
Yeah, once you know, it's done. Yeah,
the reason I've got an issue with it is because we, in principle and in practice, deeply approve of parkrun. So I just had to admit to myself that I've got a bit of a problem with it.
Well, interestingly, if you said run to the toilet, I definitely need a carsy near a parkrun.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
I got up so early on Saturday. and went straight away.
Do they have a cows at Hackney?
Yes, next to that nice big new building, by the...
Oh, well, that's fine.
Yeah, good, eh? Although, it wouldn't have been of any use to me, because I was nearly late for the run, because of having a very similar knee, but when it was time to leave the house.
Right. A park run without a cows is like a... something
on, finish this metaphor.
It's like a something without a need something else.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely.
You can see why you write for a living.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I'm just going off along the edge of Finsbury Park here. We're about to get to the muddy bit by the canal. Do we need to detour it? Are we going to take it on?
Let's take it on, mate.
It's pretty slippery. I was there the other day.
It is slippery, yeah.
But yeah, let's take it on. Ha ha!
And so it seems like you were doing a lot of admitting things to yourself when I was away, right?
Oh, yeah, well...
You admitted you liked food and eating.
I didn't have anyone to confess to. Yeah. So I'm going to go to Cannon Hill Park Run.
That's meant to be another Swifty.
Yeah, really good. Right at the beginning of March, whatever that Saturday is.
Right.
And I'll see you there. But I say this, you know, unless I don't.
Yeah, unless it's too early for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because this one on... I think the only reason I made it to Hackney Marshes is because I didn't have a gig on Friday night.
Yeah, it's great when you don't have a gig on Friday night for getting up the next day.
Yeah, I suppose that's why normal people don't have these issues.
Yeah, they don't have a problem with it, yeah.
And equally, the idea of a training run on a Saturday is great. Like you say, you're fitting it in, it's all over and done with. My little Primrose Hill training run fits in the time when my daughter's doing a drama. And it's
perfect,
it's
yeah.
It's great. So, yeah, we have to do that. I'm going to take you on that one. It's nice when you go and run up and down Primrose Hill lots of times, because there's always other people doing it.
Right.
And you gradually...
I like a hill rep
session.
Yeah,
yeah. You either clock them or you don't, and you're aware of them, and that's funny. And you're either going faster than them or slower than them. You know what I mean? You suddenly realise that there's runners of every stripe on the same page as you, like you do at a park run or a marathon, you know.
But
it's great.
It's not too...
This is nice. On the new river path, we might see rats and addicts, but it's a nice place to be in spring.
It's not too steep either, Primrose Hill, is it?
No, no.
It's a kind of... It's sharpish.
That's why you have to do reps. You're basically trying to put yourself into... like you're going up a longer hill.
Yeah.
You know, a long, steady hill, not a short, sharp climb. I like to imagine... Try and imagine the hill I'm running up the equivalent of if I tie them all together, yeah. You know. Because those are the hill runs you want to do. Those are the hill runs I missed from Cyprus.
You
set off up the hill and you can't complain to yourself
about
how far it's going to be, because it's going to be far.
It's only because I did Watford half the other week.
Yeah.
And it had some real long hill up stretches. But it had a lot of... gradual downhills.
Yeah.
I wonder what you gain more from, whether you gain more from the downhills than you lose on the uphills.
Yeah.
Because really, York's a bit like that, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
The marathon, there's some...
Yeah, yeah.
Those are longer, because you can really get into a kind of smooth pace, but running quicker than you normally would.
Yes.
You do gain a lot from those.
And psychologically, a long, gentle...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Feel as good as well just for staying with yourself.
Yeah.
But equally, How about you? But in York in particular, I enjoyed recognising my own weight and not having a problem with it.
Right.
So pacing myself on the hill, these guys would just hammer up and overtake me.
Yeah.
And then I'd just overtake them again on the way down.
Yeah.
And those guys later on, I would overtake, in, you know, permanently.
Solidly. Right.
Because
I myself
they were giving in too much.
Yeah.
You've got to pace yourself.
Yeah.
And muddy there. Could you hear that?
Nice bit of squelch.
But I think the funny thing with downhills is that when you're warmed up and you're going strong, it can really feel like exactly the same as freewheeling on a bike.
Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
Look at these geese.
Yeah, you can do, yeah.
Look at that. That's excellent. They're really giving us a look.
I wonder whether they've run into the hay canal lot. This look like a major crew, don't they?
Yeah, they've had words with those swans. These Canada geese.
Finsbury Park crew.
A couple of runners there.
Yeah.
What's all that about? That's my Canadian accent. Didn't really work. Yeah, I remember the big one is down the back of Salisbury Crags in Edinburgh. Just flying down that. And
amazing,
just feeling like you've got the feet off the pedals.
Yeah.
But if it's the wrong gradient or you're the wrong amount of tiredness, it's like a joke.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you're still running.
Yes.
There's still effort going in.
And it can be really hard work running downhills. You can really feel it in your quads, can't
you? Yeah, yeah. Or you don't want to run around a steep hill. That one down, the one right at the end of the Great North Run.
I've never done Great North Run.
Right. Well, I've just got a gig in the northeast the night before.
So I'm really thinking
about doing it this year.
I should do it.
And it'll be a nice warm-up.
Maybe I should do it.
In the run to New York. So, yeah, we should definitely do it.
Let me have a look.
I mean, it's such an event.
Yeah.
It really is. So, I haven't got a place yet, but I'm looking into it.
Let me have a look at it. That's October, isn't it?
Is it a little earlier than that, actually?
Right.
I think it's around the 9th of September, something like that.
Okay, let me have a look at that.
So I want to do that and the Royal Parks, and that is in October.
Yeah.
On the same day as Yorkshire. So it's one or t'other.
It's one or t'other.
You can run a soft southern half. Or a
Yorkshire full.
It's flat.
Full breakfast
flat as far as we're concerned.
They've also got the Yorkshire 10 miles in with a marathon, haven't they?
Yep, yeah. And we're doing that Richmond 10, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Can't beat a bit of Richmond. Got to get out there.
It's good to have some racism.
Good to have some racism.
Yeah. And we've got that racist
I miss
race,
it. You don't get nearly enough of it.
Yeah, yeah. Then we've got
Typically these days.
Then we've got the all-white 10. That'll be good.
Great. That's made me really happy.
The Brexit beacon 20 kilometres.
I really enjoyed... And this was, I was going to say this, and how in context it sounds like I'm thinking something completely different. But anyway, I was thinking this earlier on, so don't draw. Look at that, Mark, look at that, mind yourself. I fell over here once. You see, you fall over reasonably often running, don't you? I mean,
every now and again.
I fell over twice on a long marathon training run for my first marathon along this stretch here.
Right.
And those are the only two times I've ever fallen over. Wow. So I've got a little bit of mud fear, I'll be honest.
Yeah. You were going to say something you've been thinking of earlier.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really interesting that the Hackney Marshes demographic felt different to the Highbury Fields demographic.
In what way?
That's a wonderful thing about parkruns. And you never know if you're imagining it or not, but they were very... They felt quite Hackney. It felt more kind of hipster.
Right.
Yeah, it felt like it was
more
couples
beard.
Rather than families.
Was it more beards?
They were not so much, but those kind of people, yeah.
Right.
And some individualism, like slightly more deeply expressed.
Sort of
a
weird,
guy
weird outfits, weird running outfits.
Very long curly hair, guy with bare feet, you know.
There's a guy with bare feet?
Yeah, yeah. Which, in February in Hackney, is both uncomfortable and unwise, I would say. Right, we can do this. Here we go.
Yeah.
Running in between a bus and a big green van.
Nearly went
don't
for
go,
that.
Don't go. Now go. It's going to be funny the day when running commentary just
comes to a sudden
ends with it.
I've gone for it. Paul!
With a crunch. It'll all go quiet and then Steve will come to London and retrace a few steps and go here and he'll pick a couple of recorders out of the wreckage.
So what was the quality quite sharp at the top end then of Hackney?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that it, with its flatness...
A lot of people,
you know,
go
people
there.
Making pace there.
Yeah.
But equally, I think everyone... What was nice for me is that it was definitely that culture of it being a bit different and a bit harder.
Right.
was everyone's problem because it's a change of course to normal. Oh, there was some celebrations and things.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's it's a good place to be.
Was there anyone at the end just going, yes! Yes!
Well, there was a guy.
Yes!
There was a guy I overtook near the end.
No!
Who overtook me back.
Yes!
And then we exchanged a big smile.
Right.
But I think I was a little bit too far back to really see the most. I saw them up the front when we got to the hairpins, you know?
Yeah.
That when second hairpin, I was, oh my goodness. And I saw a guy running, he was grimacing so hard. And I was kind of trying to go, oh, he's living the dream, he's doing the thing. I was thinking, no, this guy's just running really hard. And he's just near the end of his park run. It was really nice being pushed back, and it was 21:03 I got.
That's all right.
I don't know what I'd, you know. All I know is I ran a couple, I ran it about as fast as I could.
Well, that's all you can
know. I ran a couple of good, significantly under 7 left and right here.
That's all you can know.
This way.
All right.
We're just crossing the little canal so that we can loop the reservoir at the Woodbury Wetlands, which is, of course, lovely. Another
this is nice.
Gravelly path for you to enjoy. You haven't been here for a little while, have you? Very nice. And
they're a funny lot, though, the people obsessed with getting their park run 5Ks down. I'm sure there's a subset of people who just compete at park runs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say, it just gives shape to your year, doesn't it? I mean, we're basically working for months towards marathons, and that suits our running style. But really,
the park runs.
If your park run is your run of the week, and the other thing you're doing is training for that, and you do that all year round, then that's fine, isn't it? That works.
Of course, yeah. It's just
Look at this.
It must be quite intense, though, sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Having your race every week.
It's a completely different rhythm, isn't it? Look, it's like being down by the sea or something.
This is great, mate.
Incredible.
Oh, let's retire and move here. We already have.
Yeah, well, we don't work that hard, do we?
No. Lest we forget.
When's the last time you did a gig?
It was a while ago now. It was about 10 days ago. I'm doing Wednesday at Leicester. I've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday gigs this week. So
yeah, that'll be
good. I've got a few gigs.
Now, I had a kind of enforced break I wasn't expecting. Then went back to... I did the Cutting Edge at the Comedy Store, which was great, on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because it's all different stuff. Yeah.
Right.
And this is a while back now. I went in on the Thursday. First of 6 gigs in 3 days. So by the end of the 3 days, I was bang, whoop, on it, you know. I first went on that Thursday after not doing my stuff for a while. So, I
feel a bit
can't
shaky.
Really remember this.
Yeah. I feel
it
a bit.
It was brilliant. And sometimes
slow.
That can be really healthy. It can really keep you on your toes. But this wasn't like that at all.
You can feel really fresh. Yeah.
The audience is enjoying this, but I'll be honest, I don't really know what I'm doing.
And, what's happening?
So that was healthy.
There's loads of films out at the moment that I'm not seeing. Loads of films that I want to see.
Have you seen Trainspotting yet?
The sequel? No, I haven't. Yeah, no. Yeah. Good?
Yeah, it is good.
Worth it?
I found
one
it.
One for the fans?
It's really excellent. It's the perfect sequel to Trainspotting.
Right.
And so saying anything negative about it feels churlish because it's a brilliantly acted, brilliantly made film with a good story. But it felt a bit reductive. You know, what it is a Trainspotting sequel. It's the best possible Trainspotting sequel.
Right.
But that's all it is.
So it's not a film in itself sort of thing?
Not really. I mean, I think it explains... You could certainly watch it without watching the other one.
Right.
But it doesn't kind of illustrate a moment in time like the first one does.
Right.
And it's...
It's just where they are now sort of.
Yeah, so I just felt... I mean, I really think maybe this is just the mood I took in. It just felt a bit claustrophobic to me. But it's excellent filmmaking, so... Yeah, you should see it. It's great.
I'll have to have a look. Yeah. He's really interested in running that old Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah.
When I ran my first...
Him and Ewan McGregor get their clothes off, you know.
Do they? Right.
They both look...
And show how fit they are.
They both look a little bit fitter than their characters have any right to be.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, they look fantastic.
Well, he does ultras, old Johnny.
Yeah.
When I did my first...
I can see that.
Serious fastish marathon. He was...
Give me a second. I'm thinking about Johnny Miller's upper body. Okay, well, carry on, yeah.
He did 3:15 marathon a while back. That was quite a long time ago, so... Yeah. Just constantly running, that fella.
Yeah. They age well as well, these guys. They look great. Which is nice. Well done.
What about Begbie? What's he up to? As an actor, what's he up to?
Robert Carlyle.
Robert Carlyle, yeah.
Well, he's moved to... Canada, because he's got an ongoing role in one of these, you know, top-rated ongoing American TV shows, but it's one we don't have.
Right.
I think it's one where fairy tales are treated kind of seriously and happen in real life, you know, like...
Right, okay.
Like that Angelina Jolie film about the Bally of Snow White.
Right.
It's that kind of thing. And it's an ongoing TV series, and he plays someone like Jack Frost.
Okay.
And he has done for years. So he lives in Vancouver.
Good for him.
But I think it was interesting with Trainspotting.
Vancouver's meant to be gorgeous.
I think he's still Scottish in his heart, you know.
Right.
So coming back and Ewan McGregor making friends with Danny Boyle, and there was a little bit of life imitating art on that, which was quite interesting, I found. And they're all great. I mean, the acting from Ewan Bremner in particular, because he's playing... Spud.
Right, okay.
And he plays... You know, he's just quite an extreme character, so in this kind of naturalistic mode, he plays the one who's least like a real person.
Yeah.
But he plays him like he's a real person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a good balancing act. The acting is excellent. It's really good, because it's that acting... It's not Oscar... It's not showy, you know? You've seen clips of that Fences, the Denzel Washington film.
Right.
In which I'm also sure that the acting is excellent. But there's lots of opportunities for...
To show good
shouting,
you are acting.
Long speeches.
Yeah.
Crying.
I'm building fences!
Yeah, that's right. Whereas all they're doing in Trainspotting is kind of being real. But that's the stuff I really enjoy. So I did an acting workshop with the kids at the Globe.
Are you?
This time I just did it.
Right.
It's really good. I mean, it's just a family holiday thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, for slightly older kids, the 9 to 12 kids, but with the grown-ups very much expected to join in, which in itself is a good thing.
Yeah.
We just crossed the road into the second reservoir, by the way.
So you did a bit of acting.
Sparkly kind of the geese in front of Clessard Park Church.
Sounds
over there.
Sounds really nice, yeah.
We got a photo of this one last time we were here, but last time we were here, it was brass monkeys.
Yeah, more birds, look another gang.
They're looking at you. The birds, they don't like you, do they? They're going to find you.
So you did some acting?
Yeah, a little bit. And the guy was really good. He was saying, just think of this as, yeah, it's an hour's family workshop, but think of this as how we would start rehearsing for a play.
Right.
It's Shakespeare. We're looking at a bit of The Tempest. And, it was absolutely great. It's inspiring. Doing a couple of fairly simple drama exercises attached to like a page of text. And the moment, you know, just like to find things from it straight away. And it's so funny that it used to be, as I say, that used to be my job. I loved it. And there's a real flash of that old inspiration there. It's not something I want to do, though.
It's not something you want to do.
No, it's a funny old thing. I kind of want my daughter to do it, really.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes that thing with parenting, is it, when sometimes it's more complicated to... Then you think to parent, you know, and getting excited about something yourself and just going, look at that, it's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't it necessarily impress your kids?
Yeah. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to want to do it.
No, in fact, sometimes it means exactly
it's the opposite. Yeah. Yeah. Best to tone down enthusiasm if you want to do it.
Yeah.
If you want them to do it. I suppose it's okay that you're in the National Youth Theatre if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, a bit of negative psychology.
Yeah.
And my wife's brilliant at that. She still does it now, but she does it more so. Sophisticated Ways was one of her tactics from their Playful Parent, the sort of parenting book for getting toddlers to play and do what you want them to do all in the same kind of move, you know?
Right.
And Invitation to Play is so good. Well, she basically, it's so obvious to a grown-up, it works so well on the kids. She'd decide what they should play with after school.
Right.
And put it out on the living room floor. And they come in, particularly my son, kind of wander in. And you think, if you'd said, do you want to play with this? He'd have gone, no, thanks.
Yeah.
You leave it on the carpet.
And they find
they come
it.
In and go,
oh, I'll play with this.
And they either start playing with it or they go, do you mind if I...
Right.
And you say, well, if you want.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. You're into it for an hour.
That's great.
It's brilliant. Sleight of hand. But one of the things the guy in the workshop said I really liked about acting, he said, doing The Tempest is more difficult one because it's late era Shakespeare. He's
right.
The characters aren't cartoon characters, you know, they move in different directions, they have conflicting feelings and story arcs and stuff.
Yeah.
Which makes it harder to, you know, look at the characters in a second. But as an actor, in the wider scheme of things, it doesn't make any difference, you know, whether the character's simple or complicated. As an actor, your job is to work out what they want
at that moment
and then tell the audience that through what you do. And that's such a great summary of what acting is and is for. And if you ever see anyone acting and they're not doing that, they're not doing it properly.
I suppose it's quite funny, that kind of good acting, bad acting thing. You just sort of know it when you see it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You sort of know good acting when you see it. Or maybe bad acting's easier to spot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think there's... Sometimes you see good actors doing bad acting. I think sometimes in TV, you see, particularly in kind of regular cosy dramas, you know?
Right.
You see people... And I think they base their acting, instead of basing their acting on what people do, they base their acting on what they've seen people in TV programmes do.
Right.
So it's like an echo.
Yeah.
You're acting like you're acting. And in turn, I think people, the audience, are complicit in that. They see that rhythm. Think, oh yeah, this person's talking
in
like people in TV dramas do, so
yes,
that works for me. But you come to it fresh and think, these people aren't talking like people talk in real life at all.
It's a bit more showy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I always think that about, you know, because I did that little short film for Sky.
Yeah.
That sort of, and it's just about relationships and and couples and stuff. And
When's it on? Do you know when it's on?
It's actually out.
Oh, great.
It's actually out. It's on Sky Arts at the moment. I mean, it's Sky On Demand on Sky Arts.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's their Valentine's short special.
Right, of course.
But most
of it was Valentine's Day the other day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't get you anything.
Don't worry about it.
You're away.
I got the card.
Me and you in front of the castle. Get by me. Castle.
But I was... and I'm trying to develop other ideas for, like, coupley stuff for telly, hopefully, potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you read about that catastrophe, and I've watched Catastrophe a few times.
Yeah.
That everyone loves.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah.
But couples aren't as witty as that.
Yeah, right.
They don't talk like that. You know, real... I'm interested in, like, how couples really are.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
comedy of real intimacy thing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're not as witty as they are in Catastrophe, doing cutting, funny, you know, three idea structure lines all the time.
Yeah,
do you
that's
know what
right.
I mean? Sort of like
no, from a drama point of view, that can push you away from realism, can't it?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you come up against the different purposes of stand-up and TV. You know, it is... TV is not necessarily the search for truth.
No.
And neither is stand-up. I don't want to overblow our contribution to society, but, you know, truth... It's funny because it's true, is the...
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's a cliché. One of those clichés that exists because it's true.
Because it is true, yeah.
So, I suggest we go into Clothesop Park and run across it and then go round it.
Okay.
Do you like that?
Yes.
There's some builders here. It's could have been missing.
Clonking
and drilling and stuff. So, in the moment when you were doing your short...
Yes.
How did the acting feel?
It felt good because I didn't ask myself or the woman that I was acting with to do anything that felt unnatural or real. There wasn't any really clever, funny lines.
Yeah.
Sort of behavioural and reacting with each other and
so what you're saying
subtle.
Is that your show was... simultaneously better. I want to go that way. I just want these crocuses. Look, Clissold Park comes through with purple and yellow crocuses and snowdrops.
That's beautiful.
That is pretty gorgeous. Check it out. That's gorgeous enough to go on Instagram.
That's really nice.
Camera's blowing about in the wind. So
we should launch a range of running commentary postcards. That's actually an idea.
Yeah, and you run somewhere and then send us a little postcard.
Yeah.
you're simultaneously saying that your show was both better than Catastrophe but less funny.
No, but I would say it's just a bit more. It makes me realise whenever I make something really that I'm quite a, to coin a phrase that sounds slightly pretentious, I'm a bit of a pre-modernist. I'm not ironic.
You don't want to be meta.
No, I'm not, no. Yeah. It's just quite simple, observed, nuanced behaviour stuff.
I think this is...
And that's always
what I am. I can't really resist.
Well, I think that's a good challenge in this third age, because we are aware.
But catastrophe is more ironic. And it is. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's really funny, but I don't know how truthful it is.
Yeah, and or whether it's trying to be, kind of thing.
Yeah, it probably is. I'm sure it isn't.
Yeah.
It's one of the most talked about shows on telly, isn't it?
But being
pre, really well.
Pre-modern, to use your phrase,
yeah,
with, you know, some discomfort. But
yeah,
I think that in turn, in this day and age, is a skill. Because we are aware, you know?
Yeah.
When people weren't self-aware and weren't post-modern, in, say, the 60s, it wasn't because they decided not to be. It's because they hadn't considered it, which is a completely different thing.
Yes.
I mean, I know, I'm not saying you're not being true to your own id, your own MO, but just the fact that you are aware of its difference to other people's puts you in a modern mode.
I'm only aware of it when I see what I've done.
Yeah.
When I'm making it, I'm not aware of it. I'm not thinking this is pre-modern.
Yeah.
I think I actually need to get a bit more aware of it.
Yeah.
I need to get post-modern.
If you're more aware of it, you'd probably be less aware of it.
I need to get post-modern about my pre-modernism.
You ought to be so aware of it that you've got no idea about it.
Yeah. I went through the bubble of awareness into absolutely no idea about anything.
And
that's when you get pre-modern.
I've met Rob Delaney a couple of times, and I've
very done, funny on Twitter, isn't it?
I've done a couple of things with Sharon Horgan.
Right.
I wouldn't say go to Winston. You know, we don't really know her, but I knew her enough that when we saw each other, goes, "Oh, hi, how are you?" And I met her in Edinburgh. She came to be in a play I was in.
Right.
And I'd done Late in Life the night before, with Rob Delaney.
All right.
And he was doing ironic misogyny. Definitely ironic.
Yes.
But equally, slightly dangerous at Late in Life, because the audience were
just
enjoying it,
right,
at a non-ironic level.
Yes, yeah.
And I thought it was irresponsible. And I said so to Sharon when she came to the dressing room of the same venue, you know, 10 hours later to do this play.
Yeah.
And she said, but I don't think that was kind of dangerously misogynist. I mean, with the irony, you know, and they didn't really express themselves very well. I don't think Rob is a misogynist. He goes, he wasn't. But anyway, the whole thing got a bit tense, and it was later that day I found out she was making catastrophe with
us. Yes.
That was one of the most ill-judged celebrity conversations I've ever had.
It's fair enough. You're allowed to say what you think.
Yeah, but I was trying to, you know, I was trying to say the right thing.
Right.
And I didn't. I said the wrong thing.
I've never been cool enough to be ironic, I think, about anything. It's just not how I operate. But I kind of wish I could.
Do you though?
I want to be ironic and cool.
Yeah.
Well, but I can't be.
Where's the irony? Where's the comedy in what's about to happen? We're about to do something I do quite often, which is to run between the woman who's running the pushy mum session and looking after the babies and the mums who are doing all the moves. It's hard to run through it without feeling like a statement.
As a pre-modernist,
yeah.
For me, the comedy in this situation would be nicking their babies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite a sort of slapsticky move, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Hi.
Not as slapsticky as what I was tempted to do, which is the one pram she was pushing back and forth to calm the baby. I wanted to kind of fall over that one.
Yeah, and crush it.
Into
crushing
it and over.
The baby, yeah.
No, you've taken it to a darker place. We're going into the woods. Into the woods. In Clissold Park. See, I used to wish there was a Clissold Park parkrun. But having done a few,
yeah,
I'm not sure it's got the
up the circuit.
Where would you go? What would you do?
Well, they did a 5K evenings.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
And I did one.
Yeah.
And they kind of just did a few loops. It worked okay, actually.
Yeah.
There's a few little hills.
It's like a mile round, isn't it? So you can do three times round.
And then, of course, they stopped for a coffee at 4K.
Yeah,
to discuss how it was going.
Latte.
Yeah.
A soy latte. Look at that. See? Madeline. Look at his feet going through that. Careful, Paul. Careful.
That's a real hazard. It's a real
still mud. It's all mud. Hey, I found a new wood.
What?
You know where your woods, the Queenswood and Highgate wood?
Yes.
Yeah, you go out onto the Finchley Road.
Right.
To go through the Finchley Road, go through East Finchley Village or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Just past there.
Yeah.
There's another wood.
You, Joel.
Do you know about it?
What's it called?
I can't remember. Okay. Muswell Hillwood, but it's way beyond Muswell Hill, so it can't
be
that.
Okay.
And it's got a... I think there's a big cemetery just past it.
Yes, well, I know where the cemetery is.
It's a proper wood this side of it. We went there the other day.
Well, that's good.
We're going to run there.
Yeah.
I'll show it to you.
That'll break up the long North London.
I was thinking
London
we could do it today, but I've lost my map.
That'll break up the North London 20 milers, won't it?
Absolutely. But I think we should, you know where I think we should start our North East 20?
Where?
IKEA.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
That'll be a right laugh.
Yeah.
We'll have some meatballs.
Yeah. We'll have some dipenne. Swedish meatballs.
It was great to actually be without Wi-Fi in Cuba and be out of the Brexit bubble.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Trump stuff going on because we had CNN on the telly.
Right.
So we watched that all the time.
So you didn't quite avoid the Trump net.
Which we quite enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Just watching American telly all the time.
Yeah.
Very anti-Trump telly on CNN, of course.
Yeah, great.
But it was just nice to be out of that incessant news bubble, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The never-ending blah blah.
Yeah, and it's so dangerous, blue. You know, because ultimately, it's very reasonable as a human to think, I'm done with it now. I don't want to think about it anymore. And that, in turn, normalises it, doesn't it? If you get to the point where you think, I'm sick of Trump on Twitter. So you didn't think about it anymore. Meanwhile, he carries on being just as nightmarish as he was, just with everyone being inured to it, you know.
Yeah.
But equally, you know, so what do? You act, you go on a march, it's just another march.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very hard to know what to do. And every day he does something, people say, oh, this must be too much. And you look back and think, well, all those other things he did weren't too much. I mean, someone was making a list of all the things, all the reasons he shouldn't get a state visit the other day.
Yeah.
And they didn't mention his attitude to women.
Yeah.
Like that one is so low down, it's gone off the chart. It's out of the top 10. Yeah. This from the guy, the locker room talk video guy.
Yes.
Anyway, there we go, talking about Trump. And the weird way his ridiculousness actually works in his defence.
Yes, it does, yeah.
Because people are so, quite reasonably, caught up with making him look small in pictures and laughing at his hair that they don't spend quite as much time
looking at what he's actually doing.
Looking at the fact that he's presiding over the death of truth. Yeah, I said it!
It's all CNN talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Just every day.
And the whole fake news thing is just so, it's so tangled up. It's a use of the discussion of a lack of respect for facts as a way of defending the person who doesn't respect the facts against the people. You know what I mean?
He
gets so tangled up in it. I feel quite tangled up when Tony Blair comes out and says something that you think, you said it.
Yeah.
Tony?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how to feel. See also today, Peter Manderson. Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
It just shows Jeremy Corbyn up, ultimately.
Well, that's because Jeremy and Blair are looking really reasonable.
Well, yeah, because Corbyn's absence renders Blair and Manderson necessary, you know. He created the vacuum that they've stepped in to fill.
But you could also argue that they created the vacuum that Corbyn stepped in to fill.
Yeah, but Corbyn doesn't fill any vacuums. He's just not doing anything, so
he fills in the vacuum of the let's not doing anything left-wing purist.
Yeah, that's right. I wait till later before I say anything about anything.
Yeah.
You can come at him from any political direction, and he'll still...
He'll manage to size set relevance, won't he?
Yeah, that's right. I will not be relevant.
Not today.
I will see you in my allotment.
There's a strange commonality between Corbyn and Trump. Yes, neither of them seem to be quite in the world.
Yes.
There we go. Trump's the thing that came back to me, it sounded like something Corbyn might have said, was when the Supreme Court Donald Trump didn't like what the Supreme Court said, so he said, I'll see you in court.
Yeah.
So we obviously will, because we are court. Let's
we
cross.
Are the court.
Let's not cross. Don't cross.
Cross, don't cross.
Tricked you, got you. So that was Clissold Park. We've done all the parks.
Very nice.
What's your conclusion? Spring is coming, isn't it?
Spring's coming. That's shaking me out of my...
Careful. Watch out.
Careful. Shaking me out of my jet lag in a nice, relaxed way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I'm going to go home and do all my exercises, including I might match what I did last week, the 3.5 minute plank.
That's great, mate.
It's a new record.
That's a long time to plank, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I've lost my planking, actually. I've got to start it again.
Well, it soon goes. I did 3.5 minutes the other day, but when I'd gone at it really hard a couple of days later, I didn't get much over one.
Right.
But once I've done 3.5, I know I can do it, right? So I've got to go back and do it again. 30-second increments is huge, but it's also doable.
Yes, yeah.
I think if I could plank 5 minutes before London, I'd like that.
I think you'd probably feel the difference as well in the race.
Yeah, I think if I did it just before London, it'd probably tie me out for the race.
Yeah. It's getting that. The next 6 or 7 weeks is where you earn your taper, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we earn the taper?
That's right. Oh, someone said they tried my potato recipe and it went well. I didn't please
there
that.
There has been a bit of a call for a recipe of the week section.
Well, I tell you what. You just made me think of this, tapering.
Yeah.
What's really the best, my favourite healthy trainee meal at the moment, right? Brown rice.
Right.
You take your brown rice.
Yeah.
You don't need too much. It gets big, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't need more than 100 grams a person. Probably half of that.
So how much is that in terms of a cup?
That's probably, for two people, a non-heaped mug.
Okay.
Yeah?
So you've got your non-heaped mug of brown rice.
Yeah, chuck it in a sieve, give it rinse in cold water.
Yeah.
Put it, cover it to boil. Like boil a kettle.
Yeah.
If the water all boils away, get it simmering. You don't need to overboil it.
Right.
If it boils away, just top it up from the kettle and it'll just keep drinking the water.
Yeah.
Oh, and a bit of salt on there when you first put it in.
Just a little bit of salt.
Yeah, and if you oversalt,
seasoned.
For health, you don't want too much, but if it's a bit salty, you'll lose that in the rinse later, right?
Right.
You boil it for ages, so you do that first.
Yeah.
And then you can do everything else.
Right.
And then at the end, when it's soft enough, nice and nutty,
yeah,
you drain it off and then you rinse it with the boiled water from the kettle.
Yeah.
God, I love that. So that with the tamari soy sauce,
yeah,
lighter than your classic soy sauce.
Right.
Not so wheaty, not so salty. With some creamy avocado.
Like it.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
Very nice.
Steam some broccoli.
Yeah.
Maybe toss that in some sliced up garlic and olive oil.
Oh, mate.
Hello.
Hello. That's a meal, isn't it?
Yeah, you could do it. If you do that with spinach as well. So you've got
this whole
kind of array of green veg. But with avocado so that there's some leguminous proteins there.
Yeah.
You could even stir some of that cooked quinoa you can get in Tesco. Just stir that into the rice to beef
it
up.
In the ready-made sort of pack things.
It's nutty. It really works.
Yeah, it's nice, yeah.
And then that's it. And then you want is a red drink with that and you're away.
Right. What, some beetroot juice or
something? Beetroot and lemon or a nice Merlot.
Nice Merlot.
One glass is good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about as healthy a meal as you can get.
So that's your starter. Then you bring on the chicken for...
Yeah, yeah.
You've got your rotisserie going.
Then you eat your roast chicken with your hand, like Henry VIII.
That's lovely, mate.
I'm telling you, that's my number one at the moment. I could have that every day with
it's
a beetroot.
It's so healthy, isn't it? It's so healthy, that.
Yeah. I really... Brown rice is the one. Brown rice and spinach, they're the two foods that when I was... If you came to me when I was in my mid-20s and said, brown rice and spinach, I'd have gone,
what?
Oh, I suppose.
Are we in prison?
And now I go, num, num, num. Num.
It's great getting older, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting healthier.
Yeah. But when you think that that's what I'm eating, you have to consider that I'm eating quite a lot of it, so being having trouble keeping my weight down.
Yeah. Well, you naturally lose weight slower as you get older.
Yeah, and also, I think like Haruki Murakami, and I really didn't realise it until he said it, I find it easy to put weight on.
Yeah.
I'm not just greedy, it's just my metabolism, you know. It goes on. Whereas this doesn't go on because we're about to get home.
This was lovely.
Yeah, it was really good.
A nice little run, mate.
Sunshine. Here we are coming home. Look, there we go. Oh no, look, selfieing it.
Feeling.
Hello.
Feeling better than when we started, as you always do.
Yeah, I thought you buttoned your jet lag down quite well there.
Woo.
And we went.
Pretty slow, I'd imagine.
Yeah, 10-minute miles.
10-minute miles, yeah.
And we went just over 7.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It's nice to get over an hour on your feet, isn't it?
Yeah. Someone was asking again about our routes the other day.
Yeah.
If you ever want to find out exactly where we've been, just come on Facebook and Twitter and ask, and I'll make it clear. We're not going to sort of app it up or anything, because A, as you know, we don't really do that, but also we'd kind of rather guide you towards these places and let you find them for yourselves.
Or just join us on Strava.
Yeah, well, you won't be able to do that. You can strive for
we
that.
We resist. How long do we resist?
It's 2 hours. So keep in touch. If you are in Birmingham, I'll see you at the park run, unless I don't. We're going to go for a long run soon, so we'll do that. Oh, Bath Half.
The Bath Half.
Bath Half is coming
up.
We're
really up for that.
Sponsor the Comedia Bath
too. Really
up
for that.
That's a big deal. All the comedians are on the night before. And if you're anywhere near, come to the gig.
Come to the gig before.
It's March 11th is the gig, and then Bath Half on March 12th. It's for Parkinson's UK and Dorothy House Hospice, which is a great brace of charities, and Al Barry and Barry Castagnola. We should try and interview them as well.
Yeah, we should, yeah.
Yeah. But get in touch. Run Compod on Twitter. Run and Commentary on Facebook. Instagram, that's where you can find the postcards.
currently in development.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. Running
with Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.